I appreciate Jason willing to help me, accompany this morning, so I don't have to worry about all these notes. Thank you, Jason. How can I say thanks, Lord, for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For great things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory. For great things He has done. Lord, let me live my life. May it be honoring unto Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Christ of Calvary. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory. For great things He has done.
I think you pause it. Okay, that's I got it. Those two of those hymns were two of my favorites. Be Thou My Vision and Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Love them. Thank you for them. Thank you for that song of mine. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The Scriptures say that to Him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness. Our Lord Himself said, they, speaking of the Scripture, the prophet, are they which testify of me. He said to the Pharisees one day, He says, Moses wrote of me, didn't he? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. You remember the story of the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. The Lord had been crucified and buried, and they did not yet believe that He was risen. And He appeared to them, but they didn't know Him. Their eyes were holding that they should know Him. They just thought He was a preacher. He was. but the Lord didn't reveal himself to them first. He began to preach to them. You see what an emphasis the Lord places on preaching. Where did he begin? It says, beginning at the book of Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. That's what we did last night, beginning these messages that we began in the books of Moses. Did our Lord preach on Abraham offering Isaac? I just kind of believe he did. The woman's seed in Genesis, you think so? That's where it starts. That's where it started. Why preach the Old Testament? Why preach the Old Testament? The world, the modern world would ask that. Why isn't this new? Aren't these New Testament days? Why do we need? What's the relevance of the Old Testament? Well, number one, why we preach the Old Testament is, number one, and we don't need another reason, it's God's Word. And if you don't know the first chapter, you don't know any of the rest of it. If you don't know where it all began, if you don't begin with God, the Creator, in Hebrews 11, the chapter on faith, isn't that where it began? By faith, we understand that God made everything out of it. Well, that's where our Lord began preaching. And he preached Moses, the word from Moses and the prophets. Well, here in Luke chapter 4, all right, look at it. We're going to see what the prophets say about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, let's read verses 16, or verse 15 through 22. Verse 15, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He taught, he preached. Another place it says that he went into all the villages and towns. He went into every little village and preached. Isn't that wonderful? What a blessing. Little town we live in, Rocky Mount, but it keeps dwindling. And there's about 3,500 people now, 4,000 people at the most. Well, the gospel is there. Isn't that amazing? Crow. Do anybody know where Crow is beside these two? Anybody? The Lord knows where it is. What does it matter? Is the gospel in New York City? I don't think so. Think about it. He went into all their little villages teaching and preaching the word of God. What a blessing. This is the greatest privilege and blessing known to man, to hear God's word read and preached. He taught there. He came to Nazareth. Remember what they said about Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Christ did. Can anything good come out of Spring Lake? Christ is there. His people are going to come out of there. He came to Nazareth where he was brought up. That's where he dwelled, like he dwelled at Capernaum and Galilee, the lowest. They were looked down upon by everybody else. People in Jerusalem looked down on Capernaum, didn't they? The Galileans. That's who Christ came to save. That's who Christ came. Those were his companions. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me. Now, this, the Lord is reading it. He's saying, me. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. If I had a title, it would be that, Gracious Words. Or Christ the Preacher. Christ the Preacher. Well, he came to Nazareth. He was a preacher. I do not introduce myself, and I'm sure John does not either, introduce yourself to strangers or people as a preacher. Do you? They'll find out soon enough. And then, when they do, they got to tell you how religious they are. Don't you? They got to tell you what they know, and so on and so forth. But the reason being, I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of this, are we? But I am ashamed to be associated with those men that are called preachers today. Now, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is what God has chosen to you. How shall they hear without a preacher? The power is not in the preacher. The power is in the word, the gospel that he preaches. But this is the means that God has chosen to save them that believe. Several reasons. Number one, why did he choose preaching? And again, we need no other reason. Because he did. Enough said. Number two, it humbles man. You have to sit down. We're not sharing anything this morning. You have to sit down and shut up and listen to a man open God's word. If he's a preacher, that's what he's going to do. Open God's word and preach to you from the word of God. And there's no discussion. There's no argument. There's no debate. It's a declaration of thus saith the Lord. And doctors and lawyers and the wise and the prudent of this world have to sit down and listen to a nothing and a nobody, usually an uneducated man, a fisherman or a machinist or a railroader or whatever, a prison keeper, a jailer, preach the truth. And it humbles us, doesn't it? And thirdly, it's in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Because if God speaks to someone's heart, if God delivers someone from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, from death unto life, light from darkness to light, through an uneducated, incapable man, you know it's of God. You know it's of God. And that's what he does. Several reasons, many reasons why. Another reason is that when you hear the preaching of the gospel, and you will not find an example in all of God's word, somebody saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. Will you? Not one. You say, well, Saul of Tarsus, boy, did he hear a preacher. The Lord Jesus cried. Huh? And then, Billy, he sent Ananias to him, didn't he? And he's the one that opened his eyes. Old Saul looked down on no Ananias before, and it says from that day forward he looked up. And he's with them coming and going, that Pharisee. Well, that, and here's another reason. Why he chose preaching is because when you hear the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the power of God and the wisdom of God, and God opens your blind eyes and deaf ears and fills your heart with the fullness of Christ, from that day forward, you will need to hear it preached. You will be with them that are worshiping and hearing the word of God preached. And here's the greatest reason of all. God had one son, and he was a preacher. Lord, that elevates this, what we're doing. That makes this vital to Christ said, let's go into the next towns and villages to preach because that's why I was sent. Sent to preach. So he came. And verse 16 says in the text that he came to Nazareth where he brought up and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, it was a Jewish custom back then that when a man reached the age of manhood, 30 years old, that they would come to their hometown and they would stand up and it's kind of a rite of passage of manhood that they would acknowledge him, a hometown boy, he's now a man, read for us, young man, you know. And so our Lord, that was the custom there. But I believe this is also saying that it was his custom, a thing he was accustomed to doing. It was a habit, as it were. He was always, the Lord Jesus Christ was always found in the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Wasn't it? His parents had him there. They took him to the temple, didn't they? I was so blessed to have believing parents, and they brought me up under the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. As a child, I thought it was torture. I thought they were just being cruel to me. But I know now it's the greatest thing they could have done for me. They had me, because you're only going to know God by being under the sound of the word that's able to make us wise unto salvation. And so our Lord, it was his custom, it was his habit, he was always there. Some habits are worth forming, aren't they? Some habits are good, like brushing your teeth. You won't have any friends if you quit brushing your teeth. I remember as a kid, you know, thinking, why do I have to do this? Well, son, you just don't know. Before long, it'll be a habit, and you'll love doing it, and you'll need to do it. Well, maybe as a poor example, but... And it was a poor example. But here's the thing. When Christ becomes your life, truly, when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you will love to hear the word read. You will love to hear the word of God preached. You need it. You have to have it. It's your life. The Lord asked the disciples one time when everybody was leaving, this is too hard. We can't hear this. We don't want to hear this. All sovereignty of the Lord and all this and the worthlessness of man and all that. And he turned to the disciples. There's a door. Will you go away? And said, to whom? Why? Where? No, this is words of life. That's what he said. Words of life. Isn't it? Man, a man born again lives by the word of God. Someone asked a plumber one time, said, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm a plumber to meet expenses, but Christ is my life. See, it's a fact. If you have eternal life, then this is your life. Christ is the head, his body. You can't separate the head and the body. Where Christ is, that's where his church is. You love Christ, you love him that is begotten of him. Don't you? You get the people of your life. And we serve the body and we meet together. It's the nature of sheep to gather together with other sheep. They have to. Goats can go it alone. Goats can eat 10 cans. Sheep have to have sheep. Sheep need one thing, grass. And he leads his people beside the still water. And they gather together as one and they hear the word read, hear the word preached. And it's life. Christ our life. Well, he stood up to read. Verse 16 said he stood up to read, and they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, and he began to read. Now, don't you love to hear the word of God read? Don't you? Didn't you love hearing Psalm 110? By the way, our Lord quoted that, didn't he? They asked him all sorts of questions. And then he said, now let me ask you a question. This is the question of questions. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, well, he's the son of David. He said, then why did David in the scriptures call him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord. If he's just the son of David, why did David call him Lord? Well, if he's just the son of God, which many think, and he's not God, why did God call him God? He aggravated him, David. I love how he aggravated him. He said, have you never read? that's all the scribes did all day long. But they did err not knowing the scripture. Why? Because they didn't know him. They delivered him the book. He is the book. They said, here, find something to read. He wrote it.
Yeah.
If they'd have known him, they'd have been on their knees right then. Speak to us, O Word made flesh. Yes.
wouldn't he?
Delivered on in the book, and it says he found the place. He opened the book, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it's written. And he read from Isaiah 61. I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah with me. Little book of Nehemiah. Go back over there. You know, Paul told young Timothy, "Preach the word, Timothy, in season, out of season." It's out of season now. Well, it's not for us. The word of God is his power. We're born again by it. We're upheld by it. The word of God is his wisdom, his power. The word. Now, you don't preach the word unless you preach Christ, who is the word. You know what? There's lots of people who say they preach the word. One they asked a fellow one time, what's your preacher preach? He said, he preaches the Bible. He said, well, what does the Bible say? Well, we believe the Bible. He said, well, what do you believe? He said, we believe what he believes. Well, what do you all believe and preach? Same thing. I couldn't tell you. Had a fella come walking through our neighborhood. And I never met him before. They just moved in. Mandy and I were standing there, she was talking to his wife, and I was talking to him. I said, well, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And he said, I'm a preacher, and we're starting a little ministry down here in my house. Oh. And I said, who are you affiliated with? He said, we're Southern Baptist. And I said, well, there's Southern Baptist. There's Baptist all over this town. Why do you need another one? He said, oh, we're trying to get the unchurched. Well, I said, what do you preach? And Johnny started getting dry in the mouth. Nobody ever asked him that. Nobody cares. Just go to church. He said, well, we preach the Bible. I said, well, everybody says that. What do you mean you preach the Bible? What are you preaching the Bible? He couldn't tell me. But say, when we preach the Bible, when we preach God's word, we're preaching Christ from the Bible. But here's the point I want to make. Our Lord opened the book in the sight. He didn't need a copy of the book. It's written in his heart. He wrote it. He didn't need a copy of the book. Yet he took a copy of the book and held it up for everyone to see. I'm reading from God's word. Is that important? Oh my. If I had anything against these electronic devices, it'd be that. People need to see that this man is reading from God's word. That was the thing that impressed my father-in-law when he first came to hear Henry Mahan preach. He went to this big First Christian place in Ashland, Kentucky, where everybody went there, you know. And he went there, and nothing was said there, and nobody used Bibles, like Methodists and all. Nobody used Bibles. Well, he was asked to, he got this contented, and he wanted to hear something. He told his so-called preacher, he said, I need to hear something. I'm not hearing something. He didn't know what he wasn't hearing. I'll tell you what he wasn't hearing. He wasn't hearing God's word. He wasn't hearing Christ's voice. Well, he went to hear Henry Mahan preach, and the first thing that impressed him was, he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't understand anything he was saying, but here's what he told Mindy's mom. He said, I don't understand what he's saying, but he's getting it from the Bible. He's preaching the Bible, preaching God's word. Look at verse 4. Ezra the scribe stood up upon a pulpit of wood. Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra, verse 4, the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood that was made for the purpose. For what purpose? To elevate a man? Oh, no. Just so a man can stand up and everybody see, I'm reading from God's word. And so the people in back can hear his voice. That's it. And down in verse 5, it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people. You see this? I'm reading from God's word. Is that vital? Now more than ever. So, go back to the text. Luke 4. It's So our Lord opened the book. He opened the book. You know, brethren, you know what this book is. Our Lord wrote it. He wrote it. It's his book. It's his autobiography. It's his autobiography. It's all about him. He said, Moses wrote of me. Well, he opened the book and he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Isaiah 61. Now, he could have read from anywhere in the book and it would have spoken of him. He said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have read anywhere. It could have began in Genesis, couldn't he? The woman's seed. He could have began in Genesis, Abraham and Isaac, the son of promise. He could have began in Exodus, couldn't it? In Exodus 12, the great atonement. The lamb. He could have began the brazen serpent, the smitten rock, couldn't it? Yeah. Ruth, the kinsman redeemer, and on he could have gone. Anywhere he could have said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. This is the purpose. This is the end. This is why it was written, to declare, to speak of me, Christ said. This is why it was written. He could have began anywhere in Isaiah, couldn't he? Isaiah 6. Isaiah saw the Lord. High and lifted up. Who did Isaiah see? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He could have began in Isaiah 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And call his name Emmanuel. Who's that? Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. He could have began there and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. He could have began in Isaiah 9. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. Call his name God. Father, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have began in Isaiah 11, couldn't he? The rod of Jesse, the branch, an ensign, a flag for the nation. This day is this scripture. He could have began in Isaiah 25. This is our God. He'll save us. We've waited on him. This is our God. He'll bring forth victory. Swallow up death and victory. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have began anywhere, couldn't he? He could have began in Isaiah 32. A man shall be a hiding place. A covert from the tempest. A shadow of a rock in a weary land. That's him. He could have began in Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant, mine elect. He'll bring forth judgment to the Gentile. He shall not fail or be discouraged. The isles await for his law. He could have began there, couldn't he? And said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have began in Isaiah 49, a light to the Gentile, the covenant of the people. He could have began in Isaiah 53. Despised and rejected of men, as a lamb led to the slaughter is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was wounded and bruised for our transgression. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify. He could have began there, couldn't he? And said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in you. But he began in Isaiah 51, 61. That's where he preached. And it says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Now you know this. Most do not. But the name Christ means, it literally translates, anointed one, doesn't it? Doesn't it? That's what his name means. And when Christ, when Isaiah wrote that, Isaiah was not speaking of himself. Like the eunuch asked Philip, reading Isaiah 53, of whom does this man speak? Of himself or some other man? And Philip preached Christ to him. It's a speaking of Christ. Isaiah wasn't speaking of himself. David didn't write of himself that he left my soul, didn't leave my soul in hell. That's what Peter preached at Pentecost did. David preached Christ. In Isaiah, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's preaching, he's prophesying of the Christ to come. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, that prophet of whom Moses wrote, stood up and said, this is speaking of me. What do you think about that? We love it. We know it is. He's revealed himself to us. We love it. Well, the people, the more he preached and all that, and they knew he was a gracious speaker, and they couldn't deny that. But after a while, they said, you're Joseph's boy. You're Mary's son. You're Joseph's brother. You ain't God. And they wanted to kill him, throw him off the hill. God was manifesting. Christ is the anointed one. Now, you hear this a lot today, don't you? This is very relevant. A lot of so-called spirit-filled preaching, spirit-anointed preachers, that's what they say, don't they? And none take them to task for it, do they? Who can hold them accountable for it? About anybody can say that. I hold them accountable for you. Because that, when a man stands up and says, I'm the anointed one, mark him off right there. He's false. He's not the anointed one. He's Antichrist. Spirit-filled preaching and a spirit-filled preacher and a spirit-filled church are those that worship Jesus Christ. Those that exalt Jesus Christ and Him alone. Those that people that are filled with the Spirit of God are filled with the things of Christ. That's what Christ said the Spirit would come and do. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. He's called the Spirit of Truth. What's the truth? Ain't a what. It's a who. Christ said, I'm the truth. I'm the way. So a Spirit-filled church, a man that is anointed of God to preach the gospel, like your preacher is, he's going to stand up. And you know what he's going to do? One thing. He's going to preach Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. That's how you know. Christ preached Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath, look at this, first thing. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Doesn't that make what we do a wonderful thing? And if you've heard it, been saved by it, oh, you love to hear the preach. Don't you love to hear God's word read? Surely no man read like Christ did. You ever told somebody a story? You know, you go through something. You experience something. And if you went through it, if it happened to you, you can tell it with feeling. You can tell it where all with all the emphasis, with all the accents where they need to be. It's your story. Wouldn't you have loved to heard him read this book? He wrote it. That's what he sounded like. He sounds like, that's what they said of him one time. He preaches as one having authority. Not like the scribes, you know. They're just reciting from memory. He wrote this book. Wouldn't you have loved to heard him read it? Maybe we will. Maybe in glory someday. He'll begin in Genesis 1. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Oh, listen to that. I've heard men read it. I've heard men preach it. The half has never been told. That's why there's going to be silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Never heard a voice like that. Never seen a face like that. Never experienced anything like that. He anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. Good news. You know what the gospel is? Christ. Here's the good news in a word. Christ. Lo, I am come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do what? Save my people from their sins. That's good news. And if you're lost, it is. You ever been lost? If you're really lost, that means you can't find your way. That means you don't know the way, isn't it? That's what Thomas said? We don't know the way. He said, I am the way. Philip said, show us the Father. He said, I am the Father.
Yeah.
I am the way, I'm the truth, I am come that they might have life. If you're lost, somebody's got to find you. You can't. That's why Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not try. If you're lost, you're lost. If you're dead, you're dead. Somebody's got to raise you. Christ said, I am come that they might have life. Not offer life, give life, bestow life, resurrect people from the dead. That's why I'm come. Do you know every single funeral our Lord attended, the person got up?
Because he is life, and his presence is life. His countenance is health. I've come to preach the gospel, good news. What's the good news? Full, free, eternal pardon for sinners. Mercy that endures forever for sinners. Well, who is this good news to? Sinners. The thief on the cross. That's all he'd done all his life. He's about to die. He knows he's going to be punished for his sins. And buddy, when he finally looked on Christ, the Savior, the Lord showed to him in a look at a man hanging on a cross, a substitute for sinners, a lamb slain for his sin. He looked into it. That was his salvation. One thing he desired, one thing he needed. My sin, like David said, is ever before me. That man wrote that hymn, "It is well with my soul." In that hymn, he wrote that after losing four daughters who drowned at sea. Before that, he lost a son. Before that, he lost all of his earthly belongings. And he wrote that hymn, and he never mentioned those children. He never mentioned those sad things and all that. But here's what he said. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Everything will be forgotten when we get to glory. Everything, everyone, everything will be forgotten. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but this is one thing we'll never get over and we'll always speak about and sing about. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's why we meet here. That's why we preach. That's what this is all about. That's why Christ came, to save his people from the sin. And when he talks about the poor, he talks about the poor in spirit. I don't have any faith. I don't have any goodness. I don't have any righteousness. I don't have any knowledge. I have nothing to commend myself to God. Christ says, good news. I'm here. Amen. Because of God is he made unto us everything we need, all we need, all the fullness of God, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He said, I am come to give you a righteousness, my own righteousness. It'll never fail. The poor have the gospel. And you know what? The Lord literally went into the poor places and preached to poor people. Because they didn't have anything. The gospel is leaving. They've left, leaving Europe. It started over there in Jerusalem. Left there, didn't it? Everybody was rich and increased with goods, their own goodness and their religion, their knowledge of God. So it left. Gospel's for poor people. It left, went into Europe, you know, Martin Luther and all the reformers, it left there. They heard all they needed to hear. And it went over to the English, the British Isles, and it left there, and it came here. Preached all over the place. Well, it's gone down into Mexico, gone down to where the really dirt poor people. They don't have anything. We go to Mexico. You've been to Mexico, haven't you? Those people don't have much, do they? Food and raiment, that's about all they have. But Brother John, they're happy people, aren't they? Our brethren in those churches are happy people. Why? They have the gospel. Amen. Like that woman, that poor woman sat down with one little piece of bread, an empty cupboard, and she said, all this and Christ too. Yeah. The poor have the gospel preached to them. He says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the brokenhearted over sin. Didn't he say in his Sermon on the Mount, first two things, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that what? Mourn. Mourn over the sin. David mourned over his sin. David said, my sin is ever before me. What can I do about my sin? I mourn over my sin. I want to be like Christ. I want to be with God. Now I feel like my sins have cast me out of his presence. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Oh, Lord, my sin's going to be my undoing. I mourn over my sin. Going to keep me from God. No, they won't keep you from God, because that's who Christ came for.
Amen.
To draw us nigh unto God, to bring us to God. And the way we draw nigh unto God is mourning over sin. To this man will I look, he is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This word speaks against sin, and that's what we are. But Christ said, I am come to be made sin. That's why he came. That's why he came. Not to make us happy in this world, but take us out of this miserable world. Take sin, us out of this world of sin. He calls it this present evil world. And to take the evil out of us and take us to a land that is fairer than day. To take us to a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Does that interest you? Are you vexed like Lot? In Sodom, does it vex you? That you're in Sodom? Does it vex you that Sodom's in you?
Yeah.
Christ said, I am come to take you out. And this is how he does it. This is how he does it. This day is this scripture fulfilled here. If the Lord is pleased by his spirit to take what this poor preacher's saying that the Lord said, he can take someone right out of darkness right now. Open blind eyes. He said, that's why I'm coming. That's what this preaching is all about. When he sent his disciples out to preach, first thing he said, go preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Open blind eyes. Cast out devils. That's what the gospel does. The gospel is the power of God. They said to John, John sent word and said, are you the Christ, the one that should come? Or do we look for another? He said, you go show John again the things that you've seen and heard. Go show John again. John, you want to hear this again? He said, go show him again. The blind he had their sight, were given their sight. The deaf hear the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised. We see it all the time, don't we? Not nearly enough. Well, it is enough, and it's just enough to eat. But just to see one, does anything give you more glory than to see a dead sinner raised to life, to see somebody hear the gospel for the first time? Is there anything? I'll tell you what it makes you rejoice. Is that if your son or your daughter or your spouse, whom the Lord uses the gospel to, nothing is greater than that. It's the one thing needful. Like the woman said, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Please. She had one thing she desired of the Lord. What did he do? He removed that devil. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted over sin, to preach deliverance to the captives. The Pharisees said, We're not in captivity. We've never been captive to anybody. We're free. That's what everybody in the world fancies themselves to be. Free. I'm free. You know, look at them. Look at them. Look what they're doing to themselves, literally, physically. I thought I was free. I was, born in the 50s, John and I. There's 10 or 12, just 10 days between us. You're born in the 50s, raised in the 60s and 70s. We thought that was a bad time. But Johnny, I thought growing up in the 60s, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I became a hippie, And when I could grow my hair. But I became a hippie, 60s. So that's the time everybody's free. Oh, I'm free. You fool.
Yeah.
You've never been in more bondage to your peers, to the god of this world, to the devil. Oh, you're doing exactly what everybody else is doing. Blind leading the blind. You're going to fall in a ditch if the Lord doesn't make you free. If the Lord doesn't deliver you from that freedom you think you have.
deliverance to the captives. Oh, and there's people just as captive in the pew as they are in the gutter.
Yes.
That's even more captivity. Our Lord said, it's the light that is in you, be darkness. How great is the darkness? If you have a false refuge, a refuge of lies, oh my. My sister was a model child. My sister was a daughter of the American Revolution, a good citizenship. She won that award. She was a role model as a child. She was an obedient child, a good student and all that. And I was exactly the opposite. But our God had to show her that she's just as much a sinner as the harlot on the street. That she needed the same mercy and grace and the same revealing gospel revealed to her heart as this old prodigal son did. She needed, and bless God, he did. Through the same preacher, through the same gospel, he did. This is deliverance from captivity to religion, to tradition, to all that your mama and daddy believe. To believe the truth. I come to set people at the recovering of sight to the blind. Blind to God, blind to self, blind to Christ, blind to our need of him. Set people at liberty that are bruised. That's what this gospel did. That's why Christ came. Bruised. We sing that song, bruised and mangled by the fall. Come, ye sinners. Poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. The Lord Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, joined with power. He's able. Oh, he's able. He's willing. Doubt no more. Come. Bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will not come at all. But you come. Bruised. Mangled. Story of Pilgrim and the Pilgrim's Progress and his friend. They got out of the way. The evangelist told them, don't get out of the way. Don't let anything or anyone take your attention away from the way. It may look good, but it's not the way. And they got out of the way into bypass meadow. And it says they fell asleep, both of them, in enchanted ground. This world, God of this world, would have you sleep as do others until the day it's too late. Well, they fell asleep, and it says they ended up in Doubting Castle under the dominion of giant despair. This great giant called despair had them in the dungeon, and now they were out of the way, and they thought they were lost, and they thought they would never get back in the way. They thought they were now going to be destroyed, that there was no hope for them to get to the celestial city, and they're in the dungeon of the Doubting Castle full of doubts and fears. It says this giant called despair would every now and then get them out of the dungeon and beat them until they were bruised. Look at you. You're no Christian. Look at you. You're not in the way. You're not going to the celestial city. And just beat them down until they were bruised. Do your sins bruise you? Does this world bruise you? Do you say like in Psalm 13, I can't? How long? Is his mercy clean gone? Doubts and fears and troubles and worry because of your sin. And you look to the world like Isaiah 8 says, it all is dark and dimness and anguish of spirit. And then chapter 9 says, well, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them a great light is shining. And all of a sudden, Pilgrim said, a key. I've had it all along. A key. Unlock all the doors of bondage, of captivity. What is it? Faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, I have the keys of hell and death. It was there all along. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. Believe. Full of doubts and fears, believe. Thomas was full of doubts. He said, Thomas, reach hither your hand and put it in my side. Behold my hands and my feet. It is I. It is I. My Lord. He said, don't be doubtful, but believe. Them that are bruised. To preach, and I love this, and I'll close with this. He did. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ear. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. Meaning, God is accepting anyone into his kingdom. It has to be in it. Anyone. Oh, not me, preacher. You don't know. God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. But he said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because we're accepted in the beloved. Because that's why Christ came. He said, he's accepted me. God has accepted me. And I'm here to be your substitute. I'm here to take you to God. I'm the one mediator between God and men. I'm the man that he's pleased with, whose righteousness he's pleased with. I'm the one. Come unto me. I'll take you there. He said, he'll accept you. You reckon God will have me? In Christ, he will.
Amen.
This is it. And brethren, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Anybody need deliverance? Anybody blind? Anybody? I still feel blind at times, don't you? This is why we need this gospel. I still feel like a leper at times, don't you? That's why I still need to come here to get cleansed by his word. I still need freedom. I still feel like I'm in captivity sometimes, don't you? I come here to hear about Christ who makes us free. How about you? May the Lord bless his word.
Okay. What a way to spend a Saturday morning.
Amen.
I was thinking the only way it can be better is if the Lord just took us. Like he did Elijah and Enoch. That's the only way it can be better than what we just heard. Mike.
Let's stand and sing 256. Paul made mention of this song in his message. That's one of our favorites. 256. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Of this glory.
my seed, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, with my soul.